everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to the Book in the Territory Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Book in the Territories Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 95 for November the 20th of 1993. We are back, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, thanks to the wonderful Jim Cornette. He didn't really dub us that, Doc, but, you know, we're going to run with it, and we got him to do our plug, so there it is. So, Doc, how you doing this morning, man? You good?
Are you going to tell the people that where we're at?
Well, first thing I want to say is...
I'm going to tell them, we're on location from deep in the bowels of Khaki's Lounge, on site.
we will get to that shortly.
We flew into North Carolina last night, and we are ready to roll, pal. We decided that we needed to do these next couple of episodes from on location at Khaki's Lounge. I met a couple of locals earlier. They're all named Barbara and Lisa.
And Tammy, maybe.
Yeah, no. But not the Tammy I want.
That's great. Well, let me just put this out there. So Harper is not with us because as we're recording this, he is actually in flight heading to Philly on this wonderful June 1st, 2018.
So I know he carries Luke's bags through the airport, but does he have to hold them on the plane too?
Luke's already in Philly, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's a no.
Well, yeah, but he's bringing his other bags, right?
I have no clue. So okay. Why are you worried about what another man's doing for another man? You just fucking, you're pathetic, bro. I mean, can we get to Smoky Mountain? Those types of things aren't really concerning me this morning.
Well, I thought we had a smooth flight up here. Did you enjoy it?
To Newton, North Carolina?
Yeah,
it was all right. You know, Newton, North Carolina at the Newton Rec Center. We're still here, and we're going to jump into this thing. Again, we got Dutch and Bob. They open up the show, and they tell us the Moondogs have been fined, and Robbie Eagle and Tim Horner will battle for the Beat the Champ TV title today. And Cottle then sets up the card and talks about Bobby Blaze, who is about to come in with a pillow and feathers for the opening promo right at the start of the show. So let's give that a listen.
I'm Bob Cottle, along with Dr. Dirty Man, Dutch Mantell. Dutch.
I am here.
Everybody knows you're here now, Dutch. You look like El Cid or somebody there today, by the way. Fans, I tell you, we got a great, great hour in store for all you fans. The Dirty White Boy is going to be in action. We're going to go back and take a look at some of the action last week, which involved the Dirty White Girl. I'm sure you remember that, Dutch. What a wild time that was. We got a U.S. Junior Heavyweight title match coming up during this hour. The Moondogs, they've been fined and they've been barred from television. And our main event, the Bruise Brothers against the Heavenly Body.
Oh, that's a great, great show here today on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. But today, for Tim Horner's second defense of the Beat the Champ, I'm going to draw a name, as I do every week. And the lucky participant this week for $1,000 will be Robbie Eagle facing Tim Horner today in the Beat the Champ contest.
All right, fans, as we say, it's going to be a great, great hour. Lots of action, lots of excitement. So stay right here with us and wait a minute. Bobby Blaze.
How you doing, Bob?
Fine. What you got here?
I got a little surprise here. Chris Candido.
Oh, my heavens.
Look here, Chris Candido. You embarrassed me. You humiliated me. But you know what? I told you I was going to the board director of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Thanksgiving Thunder Tour, Bob. This year, Chris Candido, I'm going to embarrass you like you embarrassed me. Guess what, pal? You're going to be the biggest turkey this Thanksgiving at the Thanksgiving Thunder Tour. Think about it, Candido.
Somebody's going to be tarred and feathered. There's no doubt about that one. Right? That's going to be the turkey match. Thanksgiving Thunder, our turkey champion. Woo! Let's go to the ring, fans.
Woo!
Hey, do you think that when Dutch put that ball cap on Cottle backwards, Bob was thinking, man, I used to call the NWA World Heavyweight Championship matches, and now I'm doing this shit.
I don't think so. But, okay. But the look of Pop Collar with the fucking baseball cap on backwards, it could not be more out of place.
Okay, so was that the first time that Bob Cuddle had ever worn a baseball cap backwards? Because you know those old-timers, man, that was some... That's some thug gangster stuff.
That,
you know?
Shit was taboo, dude.
Remember when Ken Griffey Jr. did that like in 1989 or 1990 and he caught like shit for it? Dude, Tony Romo caught shit for it like just a few years ago.
But see, Tony Romo caught shit for it as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, not for racial reasons, but more because I remember like the sports media saying he's the leader of the team. He shouldn't wear his ball cap on backwards.
If he could win us some playoff games, he could turn that hat sideways and shove it up his ass for all I care.
Yeah, like that. Which, and you know, I was never a Romo fan, nor am I a Cowboy fan. But to criticize, if you like, that's just, you got too much time on your hands if you're criticizing somebody for wearing a ball cap on backwards. Like, what
do you remember?
You need a fucking life.
Do you remember how much Ken Griffey got in like the early 90s for that shit? Like right around this time?
Not really, but it doesn't surprise me because, you know, people just are stupid. They worry about dumb shit.
Yeah.
You know, a dude's wearing his hat on backwards. I mean, he didn't commit a fucking crime.
Would you say that you like Tony Romo now more than at any point in his life?
I didn't at first when I first listened to his games, but if I'm being honest with myself, that son of a bitch calls the plays before they happen. Like he is a true student and he is very smart. He can look at any football team, any formation, and he can tell you what play is coming. The only criticism I have, and it's a small one, is he gets like uber excited.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
He's freaking intelligent, man. When you watch him,
let me stay with this for a second and go off the page a little bit. So recently at the draft, I heard an interview. I hadn't told you this, but I heard an interview with Jerry Jones, and he, in a private moment, apparently of honesty, said one of his biggest regrets in life is that they didn't put enough around Romo to do more, because Romo, the way he goes, that's what he was in practice. That's what he was, is he could read defenses and know what was going on. We should have won a Super Bowl with him, and that's our fault. And he said I was shocked.
He was a really, really good quarterback. I think people did overrate him because...
Just like they do Jason Witten.
Because he was a Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Like, they made him like out he was to be top five. He definitely wasn't top five, but he was good enough if you give him... I mean, if he'd had a defense and a few other pieces, yeah, he'd want to see. He wasn't no damn, you know, freaking Brady or Breeze or Montana or somebody like that, but, you know.
You just put Breeze in the same category as Montana and Brady. Slow down.
I mean, Montana and Brady, I'd say the same about Aaron Rodgers, who's only got one Super Bowl. But you know,
okay. So everybody's probably tired of us talking about football. Yeah. Well, let's go to the ring.
Let's go to the ring because Bobby Blaze, remember, he just comes out and he's got a pillow and bag of feathers. There you go. Well, we go to the ring and it's Chris Candido versus Jason West. Candido hits a suicide plex and wins and then heads for the announcer desk. He goes and gets the pillowcase full of feathers, which this made no sense, but he's a heel, so it's cool. He goes and gets the pillowcase and pours them on Jason West, who is laid out in the ring, which that made no sense because he didn't have syrup to make the feathers stick to him. But whatever, I'm good with it. Heels aren't supposed to be intelligible, if that makes any sense. Is that a word, intelligible? If it isn't, fuck it. I went with it.
Well, not the way. If it is, it's not the way you use it.
Okay.
So.
Fuck
you're
it.
Wrong no matter what.
Great. I'm glad to say I'm wrong. So anyway, but, you know, Candido gets a win. Any thoughts on the match, Doc, as Bobby chases off Chris Candido?
So I have two notes here. One is, when he was walking out, he has two belts. I'd say he has all the gold, but that WWE belt is aluminum, so I can't say that. And Candido, to me, looked like he got a little frustrated with Jason West missing a couple of moves. And he slapped him twice.
He could have, but it's hard to tell sometimes when you got a heel in there.
Right. That was my observation, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. So, do we want to go to this next, not really a promo, but...
Sure. We have to. I mean, it's next, and that's what we're here to do, right?
I'm going to play it. Here it is.
Fans, last week there was another champion.
Shit, that ain't it.
Come
let me find it. Well, I don't have a timestamp for it.
Tony Romo would have got that right.
I don't have a timestamp for it. That's the big issue. Christ. Oh, there we go. There we go. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Unprofessional doesn't just mean cursing.
So we're going to watch the end of the match now. Oh, look at this. Bobby is peppering Candido with the... Dude, they're having a fucking pillow fight. I'm just watching. I'm sitting here watching
this.
That's
my note. Why do feathers hurt?
They're having a fucking pillow fight, bro. I mean, come on. Does it get any worse than that in wrestling? Jesus Christ.
That's the one bone I have to pick with Corny's like, well, we didn't tell him that this shit was fake, motherfucker. Well, they're hitting each other with feathers, pal.
Corny gets worked up, and it's his gimmick, and you know that. I mean, he will never admit that, but I think it's his gimmick. But whatever, he's an old timer. It sells tickets for him. By tickets, I mean merch and shit like that. I mean, nobody can dispute that. He can say it's not true, but I love him, but it's true.
What you're saying is he votes Republican and just works everybody up.
I don't really know what he votes. I mean, I know he gets worked up over the
Republicans.
Wouldn't
that be funny if he was like seriously a Republican but was working everybody?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, I feel like he votes Democrat, but it wouldn't put he's a fucking worker.
Never trust a carny.
It's not even trust. It's just doubt. Like, you got that little doubt in your mind. Like, it makes for entertainment for people who are stone cold Democrats. Like, they'll listen and tune in and go, yeah, fuck that. You know, it's like, or if you're, I mean, I know Republicans that listen to him. So,
fuck that.
Whatever.
Cause they tune in and go, fuck that motherfucker. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It works on both angles, just like wrestling.
Shit happens. All right.
Wrestling is life.
Let's play this segment. Here it is.
Khaki's Lounge, the place to be in Hickory, featuring oldies and beach music with a splash of Top 40. If you want to wind down or wind back up, try Khaki's Lounge at the Ramada in Hickory. New Year's package is available in mid-December.
Bro.
Dude, he said wind down or wind back up. That means you can smoke a joint or you can get a line.
So, do you want to tell the people how you looked for... You actually did some digging, and I did too. Harper and I cut a patron episode on this. That's probably out already, but you actually did some digging for some information on this, right?
Couldn't
find it.
I wanted every girl where every girl's name is Barbara. Khaki's Lounge.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So anyway, Khaki's Lounge.
So Harper, it appears that this is a defunct bar, which doesn't. But first of all, can you imagine? I'm not talking like you go to a hotel bar. You hear all the stories for the wrestlers back in the 80s. Dude, that was the Marriott, the Hilton. That's a hotel, man. Ramada Inns in the 90s weren't nice. I mean, they were terrible, but they weren't nice.
They still ain't nice, the ones that are in existence.
So this is a bar inside of a three-star, two-star facility. Dude, this place in 1993 had shag carpet, no overhead lighting. It was dark. It smelled like a combination of spilled beer and cigarettes and Padussy and perfume and just bad decisions.
Pretty much.
Bad
decisions, yes.
That's the kind of place where I like to go and have a beer, man.
You know how many Rat Master children were conceived in the Ramada Inn?
In the bathroom, in the parking lot, there was drugs everywhere. There might have been drugs running out of there. Dude, there was like, that's the kind of place I want to go get my drink on. I don't want to go drink some sort of IPA unicorn tear, squeezed from the horn of a unicorn, craft beer bullshit for $9 a glass. I want to go get a fucking plastic cup of swill and watch some two bitches start kissing in
That's
the corner.
That's nice, Doc.
What?
All right, we'll keep going. But if you want to become a patron and get Harper's thoughts on Khaki's Lounge, go to tinyurl.com/BTPatron.
I bet it wasn't much different than mine.
Well, it went off script. Like, we kind of talked about Khaki's Lounge for a minute, and then we started trying to Google it, and we couldn't find it, nor could we find the Ramada Inn in Hickory, North Carolina, but we found all kind of other, like, bars there. So Harper and I started reading Google reviews of some of these bars, and we only read the like bad reviews, and some of those bad reviews were just great. And you know how Harper's got these incredible takes on things. So it was pretty entertaining, if I say so myself. We also, since Harper wasn't on the February 21st, 1987 NWA show, we also actually talked about that too. We went through a couple of the promos that he wasn't on for. He was on the show, but not till the very end. So Harper gives his take on Ronnie Garvin being hit by a fireball, or a cosmic fireball, as Dennis Condrey said. But we'll keep going on the Smoky Mountain show. But being a patron is only $2 a month, so please consider doing it. And you can do more if you want. $9 gets you a t-shirt after 7 months. So there you go. tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Are we playing a local promo, Doc? What's going on there? Because I said it was good, but it was nothing special.
Yeah, I don't have anything. First of all, you missed a match with John Hitchcock and Dirty White Boy.
Oh, yeah, I sure did miss that. Dirty White Boy was brawling his ass off. I will say that. He's not a face, but these people in this building really love him. And, you know, Harper made the point a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, like that White Boy reminded him of Stone Cold. It's like, I hate to say he's like Stone Cold, because that's comparing him to like one of the biggest money draws in wrestling history. But his persona,
you can see the seeds of it, kind of thing.
Yeah, his persona in this small territory is the point I think Harper was trying to make. It's definitely of like a Stone Cold type persona. I don't think you can disagree with that fact. My opinion. So
I agree with that fact.
So there's that. All right. Any other thoughts on the match where White Boy beats John Hitchcock?
I thought he brawled, but he also hit a sweet looking DDT there too. So
yeah,
I'm a DWB kind of guy, pal.
I love Babyface.
Why don't you get him on the show?
He doesn't do many podcasts and interviews, man. He's got a few out there for like, what's that network? Shit, I can't think of the name. Is it RF Video or HighSpots.com? He's on there doing some stuff with like Dr. Tom, but he doesn't really do. He did the two-man power trip a while back, but he don't really do interviews, man. He kind of just lays low. That's his gimmick these days. But
maybe he's out doing some plumbing work.
Real quick, that match did end when Primetime Brian Lee came out with Tammy Fitch, and Primetime Brian Lee holds the Dirty White Girl on the outside while Tammy hits the Dirty White Girl with a loaded purse. I needed to mention that because that's big in a promo coming up later. If you're watching on YouTube, you probably can see the image where White Girl is holding her head, and it's because she was hit by Tammy with a loaded purse. Loaded purses with broads in wrestling was kind of a cool thing back in the day, but we'll keep going. We go to the local promo that we're going to skip. I will say this. Brian Lee walks into that local promo. He's got a Biggie cup from Wendy's.
I was like, man, he's been having some triple cheese, motherfucker.
Triple cheese, motherfucker. Double mayo, extra cheese. Okay, we go now. Bob Cottle throws us to Sullivan throws us to a promo with the Bullet leading to the Four Faces of Fear match at Thanksgiving Thunder. Well, it's actually Kevin Sullivan and then the Bullet. So let's give that a listen right here. Here it is.
As the Four Faces of Fear Challenge at Thanksgiving Thunder sees Kevin Sullivan out for the mask and for the hide of the Bullet. After all the events of last year, this will be their first ever one-on-one meeting. So let's hear the comments from those two.
They say I'm getting out soon. They say I've been a model prisoner. You see, I'll be out for Thanksgiving Day Thunder, because when a fly landed on me, I wouldn't even hurt the fly. And they said, look at him. He wouldn't even hurt a fly. But a Bullet is something else. A Bullet is a man that's trying to hide his true identity. Bullet Bob Armstrong, peekaboo, I know it's you. And in Thanksgiving Day Thunder, you're gonna meet me, the man that you sent away. The man that you wouldn't pay his doctor bills. I didn't want to go on that rampage. I didn't want to do what I had to do. But in Thanksgiving Day Thunder and the Four Faces of Fear, it's all legal. I can dismember you, rip off your mask,
reach down and rip your entrails out. Such fun. Thanksgiving Day Thunder, and they won't put me away again. It's legal. What a great country. Thanksgiving Day Thunder, the four faces of fear. Bullet Bob, I'll see you then. Thanksgiving Day Thunder. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right.
Okay, Doc, I stopped it before we go to the bullet. I don't know if this is as good as when he was doing the gimmicks and he was crazy, like when he was like first came in. But what are your thoughts?
I liked it. Peekaboo, peekaboo. What a great country. They're going to let me out, and then he's going to come slaughter some motherfuckers. But then the other thing I like about that is Caudle did a great job setting this up by saying, remember last year?
Oh, yeah.
These two, and then this is the first time they're going to fight. What excellent, excellent setup by Caudle. A true pro, if you will.
Yeah, yeah, that I agree. That was some good stuff. Totally agree with you there. That was good. The funny part about it is I like when Sullivan talks about dismembering the bullet and how it's illegal, what he's going to do to him. Like, I mean, if you really think about it, that kind of makes your imagination kind of run wild. In the same vein that when Ivan told Nikita they were going to deal with him old country way,
yep.
It's kind of the same thing. Like, it's illegal what I'm going to do to you. Jesus Lord, what is he going to do? Fillet him in the stomach with a rusty fishing knife. It's pretty intense. But you know, Kevin Sullivan's doing what he does best, and he's acting crazy. Any other thoughts, Doc? Before we go to the bullet, who's going to respond right here?
Nah, man.
All right, so let's go to the bullet. We go straight to that and hear the bullet response.
Yes, I'm almost ready for Thanksgiving Thunder Part 2. I'm just about there. You see, I don't have a patch anymore. I'm seeing kind of hazy, but I am seeing. And if that referee will just lead me to the ring, Kevin Sullivan, alias the master, I'll take care of business. I've heard you so many times talk about putting people on the tree of woe. We're going to find out what that tree of woe is all about, because I'm going to strap you to it, and you're going to be screaming, whoa, 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 every time I hit you, boy. Get me off this tree and get that bullet off of me, because I'm going to be on you, boy. I'm going to be on you hard. I owe you now. You tried to take me out. It didn't work. Cornette tried to take the mask off. It didn't work. You're not going to get the mask. Thanksgiving Thunder's rolling, brother. It's almost here. It's going to be a thunderclap heard around the world. I heard the Japanese wrestlers are talking about it. The photographers are coming. They're going to see if the bullet loses his mask. Is it Bob Armstrong or is it not Bob Armstrong? Well, only I know that, brother. You're going to have to prove it. And you don't pack the gear, because you've got the devil in you, boy, and I intend to beat it out of you. Thanksgiving Thunder Part 2. The bully's going to show you once and for all why he's bad to the bone.
Doc, thoughts on the bullet?
Okay, I didn't like that the first time, but I liked it just listening to it, and I know why. I got distracted because he's standing there saying he ain't Bob Armstrong, and the Armstrong street sign's hanging up on the wall behind him, and this is the same place where he cut all those promos when Corny got him. But the promo, and I got distracted, but the promo itself was, good in the regard that, man, the Japanese are coming. This is a big deal, because like Sullivan goes to Japan all the time. I'm bringing over the people that follow you, right? And the line that I think would resonate in that territory with those fans is, you got the devil in you, and I'm going to beat it out of you, boy.
Yeah, that was because people knew, quote-unquote,
it's the South. It's the Bible Belt. It's the South. I mean, that's that Baptist fire and brimstone kind of thing.
Not just that, but, yeah, that's true. And I actually liked it because I love how they aren't even trying to hide that it's Bullet Bob. I mean, at the top right of the screen, like you said, Armstrong street sign is there, and it's the exact same place where Bullet Bob cut a previous promo, not only in Smoky Mountain, but I want to say I was watching an episode of Continental recently where he's cutting a promo from the same fucking spot. It's just beautiful because it's like, we know you're Bullet Bob. But I mean, and everybody knew it was him, but I thought it was funny. It was good. You know, like you said, he's going to beat the devil out of him. And we all know what people thought. Kevin was like this devil worshiper, in Florida. So there you have it. Good stuff. All right. We will go now to, remember, the end of the match previously with Dirty White Boy. Dirty White Girl got hit with a purse. So we go straight from the bullet to Dirty White Boy and the Dirty White Girl with Bob Cottle, and here they are.
All right, fans, with me right now here at ringside, of course, we got the Dirty White Boy and the Dirty White Girl, and she just is able to sit there, White Boy.
I cannot believe that a man stands 6'8", weighs 300 pounds, wants to come out and jump on a woman. Where I come from, tough guy, we don't go for that kind of stuff. And White Girl, I know you come to help me, but baby, I didn't honestly think that he was going to do this. So from now on, you just stay at home. It's all right. I'll take care of this fight myself, okay?
Oh, no. That witch made the biggest mistake when she put her hands on me. We come in a pair from now on. Where you go, I go. And I got news for her. I'm going to kick her butt from one end of this country to the other. And baby, this time it's not a threat. It's a damn promise.
Now you heard it, Prop Time Bradley. Now you've lit the damn fire. You're talking about wanting to get nasty. You want to jump my old lady? Well, by God, it ain't going to happen, because wherever I go, I'm going to carry this chain. And if you blink, I'm going to bust you right upside the head with it. I don't care if the promotion suspends me. I don't care if they find me. I don't care what they do. Nobody on the face of God's green earth touches my old lady and lives to tell about it. And as far as that tramp's concerned, you get close and I'll choke your stinking turkey neck to death.
Fans, don't go away. We'll have more action when we come back right after this.
Boy, he's speaking the language of the people. No one on this earth touches my old lady and lives to tell about it.
Okay, so, oh no. You know, she looks like, man, I got to be careful here. She looks like.
Yeah, please.
She, you know, if I'm going to be careful. Now, she looks like she came straight out of Khaki's Lounge to go cut that promo. That's some get up she's wearing, too.
Dude, and, with the jeans and like the leather sections.
Yeah. And
that's
then
straight 90s shit.
And then early 90s, too. And that would have, that old lady is the perfect way to describe her. She's somebody's old lady. And
I think that's like a Southern thing, man. Cause
it is.
I know a lot of people that say that in the South. I don't know if that like translates in the North. Like when guys say, oh, my old lady. I mean, Jesus Christ.
And then Dirty White Boy is just firing up, dude. Cause this thing is real.
Well, she just. His broad, his old lady, as he said, got hit in the head with a purse. You started a war you can't finish, partner.
Right.
Good stuff.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah,
and,
man.
And here's the thing. She's not a strong promo. She's not what you consider. I mean, she's not Tammy. But for some reason, she works standing next to him.
I gotta rewatch more of her, because I know Tommy Noe was saying that she'll get the Tim Horner Award for her promos. So far, she ain't great on the mic, don't get me wrong, but she doesn't have to be great like Tammy was, because she's got Tony Anthony right there, Dirty White Boy, who can cut a hell of a promo. I mean, this dude, like, think about it. That was a babyface promo. We've seen him cut mostly almost all heel promos to this point. Dude, he cuts promos good no matter what he is. He's a really good promo.
Yeah,
it's just throwing it out there. So good stuff, and we'll keep going, because right after this, Jim Cornette and the Moondogs, they're back, and you know, tell you what, let's give a listen to what's going on here.
Fans, here's Jim Cornette, the Moondogs. Hey, these guys have been fined and they've been barred from television. What the heck are
exactly
they doing?
Right. $5,000 they fined us for what went on here on TV last week. But you know what $5,000 is to me? That's a phone call home to my mother. And she sent a check down and paid for the little damage that the dogs did. Of course, how can you put a price on a human life? But you see, Smoky Mountain Wrestling once again is trying to discriminate, trying to protect the Rock and Roll Express, protect the people that they like. They don't want the Moondogs on TV. What are they going to do about it, Bob Caudle, huh?
What are they going to... I tell you what they're going to do. They're not going to let them wrestle on television.
Oh, and they said, as a matter of fact, they said that they would even send security.
Yeah, the Smoky Mountain security will prevent it.
That crack security force, Dutch, I know you know all about it. Well, let me tell you something right now. From the swamps of Louisiana to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, the Moondogs are here. They need some bones to chew on. They see some cats named Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson. And you know, everybody knows dogs don't like cats. So I'll tell you what we're going to do right now, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We are going to, you know what? We're going to laugh in the face of authority. We are going to ignore the ban on the Moondogs on television. The Moondogs are now going to go to the ring and let the security come. Let the wrestlers come. I'd love to see somebody try to put the Moondogs out. To the ring, boys. Sick them.
All right. I tell you, he's just flaunting it right in the face of the Smoky Mountain authorities. You don't flaunt it like that, Jim.
We are flaunting our dislike of authority right now. I want to see somebody put the Moondogs out. Rock and Roll Express, they are the most dangerous team in wrestling.
We've got a television program going.
Well, it ain't going to go nowhere.
The ring.
Who's this now? The crack security forces.
Jesus Christ.
Who is that, Dutch?
That looks like this. Like you said, the cracks. Those guys couldn't throw out my grandmother. Surely this has got to be a joke.
Who is that, Delta Force?
Is that the equivalent of the SWAT team?
Well, now, Dutch, look. You know, people are supposed to accept the authority of someone like the security force. They shouldn't attack the security.
All right, Doc, you want to talk about this security force with one guy with Zubaz on with the T-shirt tucked in the mullet? I don't know what else to say.
Well, if they don't scare me, how are they going to scare the Moondogs?
That's a great fucking point.
So here's my thing here. You know, I'm known far and wide for calling it like it is, right down the middle, straight up.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
I wonder if Corny regretted bringing these guys in almost immediately.
He said it on his fucking show a few months ago. Of course he did. He didn't regret bringing Larry Latham in. He regretted this mud show Moondog that's with him.
This is lame. I can't get behind it. For real, when they showed the clip of Memphis and destroying those guys and being unsafe, I was out pretty much from there on, because it's not going to get better. My only part of this that I like is before they went to commercial at the end, did you see the old granny in the crowd getting into it?
No, I don't have a note on it. I missed it.
Okay.
But
that's about it.
Yeah, so... And then what happens from here is, so you heard the Moondogs hit the ring. The security guard is laughable. The security is laughable at best. The enhancement talent do hit the ring to help the security. They get the shit beat out of them by the Moondogs. It's not as bad as last week. Rock and Roll Express finally hit the ring and have had enough of this. They start beating up the Moondogs with the Moondogs' own stuff, like the sign and the trash can. You know what? And now that you say it, I do remember. I'm remembering it now. There's an old lady with her mouth quivering at the end. There you go. So I don't know, Doc. This ain't my favorite thing either. In right now, and Corny, like we said, Corny has mentioned that he didn't say he regretted, but he was like it wasn't what he wanted.
Right.
So there's that. Do we really want to talk about Mike Furniss's personality profile with Rocky Top and banjo music playing in the background?
Well, no. I like the idea of the personality profile, and it's Les Thatcher's creation, I believe. But the problem with Mike Furniss for personality profile is that he only has a profile because he ain't got no personality.
Well, we're going to see that on the end of next week's
episode.
Dude,
he makes Horner look like Hogan.
Speaking of Horner.
Hold on. The last thing I have is, did you see, the only impressive thing I've seen out of Mike Furniss yet is that damn afro he was throwing down in college playing football. That was one hell of an afro for a white man.
See, like, we got to remember, like, we think he has no personality, but again, he played for Tennessee, and I know a good number of Tennessee fans as an SEC fan, and dude, that Tennessee fans are hardcore. They're as hardcore as they come, and it's like a religion, dude. College football, SEC football in the South, it's not a joke, man. It's a religion. So that whole thing, let me say this. I don't like Mike Furniss as a wrestler, obviously, but I like that they tied in the whole Tennessee Volunteers thing.
They got to do something.
Well, that gives him should give him a nice little, oh, okay, this guy,
they're buying him some time to figure this thing out.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my point. You know, they at least threw through that, and it's true. He played for them, and he was a hell of a player, so there you go. Let's go to Tim Horner. Now, you and I and Harper reviewed this as our promo of the week a few weeks back on the NWA show. We got Tim Horner out here with Darryl Van Horn, and you know what? This is I could watch this and play this 100 times, so here it is.
All right, fans, out right here, White Lightning Tim Horner, interrupted by Darryl Van Horn. He just came out and interrupted the interview.
Exactly. Tim Horner, I'm going to give you a chance right now in front of all these Smoky Mountain moo cows, these girls that worship you that stink of monostatin malt liquor, to back out of Thanksgiving Thunder right now. It's going to be the best move you can make, Tim Horner. You see, you better go home. I'm sure your mother's waiting for you in the tool shed. If you show up for Thanksgiving Thunder, Tim Horner, your career will end. All of those illegitimate children you have fathered up and down the road are going to be sad and sorry. They're not going to have a daddy anymore. I'm going to tell you something, Tim Horner. You are going to be the first person to find out that the history of Prince Karras's career will be written in blood, not wine. Wine is what we're going to use to celebrate his victories with. I'm giving you a chance right now. Go ahead and get out of it in front of all your fans, and I'll leave you alone.
Let me tell you something, Van Horn. I think you're full of crap. Maybe that's why your eyes are brown. I'm not afraid of nobody and never backed up from anybody, and I'm not going to start with you or your prince from Cairo. You got that? He better be ready, because I am, pal.
He doesn't talk to me like that.
All right, Tim Horner, he's ready. Let's go to the ring, fans.
Okay, Doc, we kind of blew our load on this one a few weeks back on the flagship show. However, I never get tired of listening to this. It's funny.
Well, Horner's not too bad there. I mean,
no, he's really not.
He fires back and he holds his own. I mean, he's outgunned walking onto the stage with Van Horn, but most people would be.
Right, right, right.
So yeah. Do I need to tell people, do you think I need to explain to people what monostat is?
I would assume they know, but go ahead.
It's a cream for the, I don't know, what it, hatchet wound, ham wallet.
It's a cream for the vaginal area. I mean,
okay, there you go. If you want to be scientific,
okay, there you go.
That treats fungal things and the you know, that when they bake bread down there and get a yeast infection. When you think about it, we chase something all half of our lives, chasing something that's pretty ridiculously gross.
Of course, but I choose not to think about it that way.
Babies come out of there, like all this,
okay,
like,
yeah,
blood and uterine walls and discharge, and it's gross.
Well, all that is what makes babies possible, asshole.
Do we really need more babies?
Okay, monostat and malt liquor is a hell of a combination.
It sure is, because think about it, you're drinking hopsy yeast up top and you got yeast correctional activities going on down below.
Fake Stan Lane and I have been talking about this promo. We were talking about it on Twitter. And monostat and malt liquor, just that, I would never think to put those two together in a sentence. And that's what makes Darryl Van Horn so goddamn good.
Well, and the Smoky Mountain moo cows.
Yeah, he tied it all in together. Perfect. Great stuff. All right. We go to Robbie Eagle versus Tim Horner. Darryl Van Horn is out there, to scout Horner. Dutch said during the match, if Van Horn's game is half as good as he can talk, then he is something to watch. I got to agree with that, because he's a hell of a talker. Horner wins with a natural bridge. Doc, any thoughts on Eagle versus Horner?
But I was hoping you'd keep going a little bit longer on me.
Okay, let me cover for you.
No, I got it.
Oh, okay. What you got, a blueberry Pop-Tart? Which one is it?
I'm actually eating a banana, dude. I get my potassium load up.
Okay. Please stop smacking.
That mummy's going to kill the shit out of Horner.
It's so sad.
I'm going to say something here with Horner and Robbie Eagle. Wrong guy won.
Well, you don't like Tim Horner, so that doesn't surprise me.
And I am just mad that Horner thinks he wins $5,000 every time he wins. Because he doesn't know how he gets confused by stipulations and numbers and names. He always like mouths or make a gesture for like five. Dude, you just want 8,000 and you have the opportunity to win up to 5,000. It just frustrates me that he can't get it right.
He just pisses you off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is what it is. You know, he's Tim Horner. Whatever. I think this is around a time when Jim, well, not that I think, I know this is around a time when they were about to get rid of him. Like this is, he's winding down. I mean, we're seeing, not to break anybody's hearts, but, and I think we talked about this on the last show, maybe it was one before that, I can't remember, because it all runs together after a while, but he's winding down. This is, he's coming to the end of Tim Horner and Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So get your jabs in while you can on our good friend Tim Horner, who I am going to get on the show eventually at some point. But if you're checking out the YouTube version of the show, you can see that they've got the Thanksgiving Thunder Tour promo rolling on the video and lots of great matches. I mean, tons of good stuff that's going to be happening. And I don't know, Doc, any thoughts on the 4-day Thanksgiving Thunder Tour?
There's a lot of different things going on here, pal.
It's pretty intense, man. You got the Bullet, Kevin Sullivan. You got Rock and Roll Express, the Moondogs. Lots of, you know, Bobby Blaze, Chris Candido, just turkey title match. Lots of stuff going on in these 4 days, man. So it's going to be a hell of a show.
Get your tickets now.
Yeah, get your tickets now and meet us in the Smoky Mountains. There you go. Doc, any other thoughts on the Thanksgiving Thunder Tour before I go to the Heavenly Bodies versus the Bruise Brothers?
Let's hit it, pal.
Okay,
without Harper, well, I figured it out. Harper is the drag on this thing. With me and you, it's running crisp.
No, it's
he's fire him.
I miss Harper when he's not here.
No, let's get rid of him. I can do that. I can handle it.
Whatever.
Well, I'll call somebody asshole. How he says it? What asshole?
What an asshole, dude! That guy's a fucking prick. You know?
That's real classy. See?
That's nice.
If
you think about it, Harper's got like probably 7 or 8 different taglines that he just throws out randomly throughout the show. And along with the train wreck of something that he throws out there, it's like that's his contribution. And I'm fine with it.
I'm doing good, Michael. I was watching some show, a movie from the past.
Dude, he's like a Ric Flair match. You know how you hear people complaining like Ric Flair does the same thing over and over? Harper's like a Ric Flair match. It's like he hits the same spots. He hits the flip over the top rope. He hits the dot. He hits the bump off the top rope when a guy throws him flying. The backdrop. It's all, but it's beautiful. I'm not complaining. I love Ric Flair.
This is throwback to when it was just you and me, pal.
Yeah, first 20 episodes, maybe 22 of it, something like that. I remember we went like it was definitely like 4 or 5 months where it was just you and I on this one. So, okay. We'll keep going. We got the Heavenly Bodies versus the Bruise Brothers. Here's my notes, Doc. It's a fight, which it should have been. At one point, Corny hits one of the Bruise Brothers with a racket. Cornette gets choked, but is saved by Pritchard. Cornette ties up one of the Bruise Brothers to the ring post on the outside, so he's like, he can't be involved. He finally gets out. The Bruise Brother finally gets out of being tied up, and he goes to get a wooden board, and he cracks it over Del Rey's head. This thing ends with a DQ. Corny and the Bodies are sent running. Doc, any thoughts on this fiasco that we saw here? I mean, this was pretty intense.
Yeah, it was a fight. I haven't been a big fan of the Bruise Brothers, but I did enjoy this match, and it's cause probably more due to what the Heavenly Bodies were doing. I thought it was clever to tie one of the Bruise Brothers to the ring post because you got to account for their size somehow. So I thought that was clever. Dude, Jesus. Del Rey, get your hands up, son. He took that board. It's flipped right over his head. I don't care if it's gimmicked or not. Get your hands up.
I wonder if that board was either gimmicked or that's not like plywood and just like a, you know, softer wood because...
Okay, Jesus, can I come Lord. Over later and hit you with a piece of softer wood and see what happens?
Well, I mean, my point is, I guess you're right. It had to be gimmicked the way it split down the middle.
It cut pretty clean.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at it, I've got it on the YouTube channel right now. I'm going to share part of the video, but it splits right down the middle almost too perfectly.
Like, yeah. So earlier in the match, I thought there was a spot where Dr. Tom did not hit a backdrop clean, and I was like, dude, he could have got hurt right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know you have no idea what I'm talking about, but let me just say, I was like,
I really don't remember that part.
Yeah, I'm just letting people know. You like to work. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I saw that.
No,
you didn't
I don't.
See shit. You didn't see shit. You didn't see shit.
I did catch that board, though. Jesus. Now, did you see Dr. Tom get his hands up when the Bruce brother took the other half of the board?
That's where Dr. Tom is a professional, and Jimmy Del Rey was a wrestler.
Well, Jimmy Del Rey didn't do anything but stand there, and he's like, all right, go ahead and hit me. You know,
and then the Bruce took one of the halves of the board and went after Pritchard, and Pritchard's like, nah, bro, let me get these hands up.
All right, local promo. There's a local promo with the Rock and Roll Express. Let me recap. That match ended in a DQ, no solution, and it shouldn't be because they're about to meet up at Thanksgiving Thunder. Local promo. What'd you have from that one?
The Rock and Roll was meh, and the Dirty White Boy and Dirty White Girl was pretty good, but nothing like. I didn't have any notes.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. Here it is.
Boy with the Dirty White Girl.
You know, Prime Time, all you and that little witch, all you've done is going around, y'all think you're real cute, going around making fun of Ron Wright, spending his money, and all you've managed to do is make a lot of people unhappy, and you happen to be looking at two of them. Well, the only thing I know to do is do what I do best, and that's beat people up. So Prime Time, on Turkey Day, I'm going to stomp a hole in you and then walk it dry. And what you got to say about Miss Tammy, whatever her name is?
You know, you show up to Hazard, and you see this chain right here, honey, you interfere, and it ain't nothing for me to grab it and use it.
I guess you heard that. So Prime Time, just show up in Hazard. That's all I'm asking you to do. Eat you a big dinner if you want to, because I'm going to beat the stinking stuffings out of you.
Doc, any thoughts? I mean, I know you said it was pretty good, and you said, you know, you didn't have much notes, but anything else?
I'm going to do what I do best, is beat people up. I like that. I mean, we talked about it earlier. That's really kind of a Stone Cold-esque thing to say. Is, I mean, to me, that sounded like a smaller promotion version of Stone Cold right there.
That's what I was saying. That's exactly what he is. I mean, I
didn't disagree with you, Jack.
No, I know. I can, but see, like, here's the thing. You don't see the tweets. You don't see the emails. You don't see none
care.
Of that stuff. Someone will come back and say, oh, my God, you're overselling the Dirty White Boy.
Hey, guess
no.
what? Hey, let me break down wrestling for you. Dirty White Boy sounds like a young Stone Cold, and Lex Luger and Sting both suck and killed WCW.
That's not true.
Let me get it all out there for all these people that have questions.
That
or
ain't
concerns.
True about Luger and Sting, but I will say Dirty White Boy is definitely, he was like Stone Cold before there was one. He was. He doesn't.
Now, is he as hot as Stone Cold was in 1997 or 1998? No.
Nobody's saying that.
Nobody will ever. I don't know that anybody will ever reach. I mean, when that glass broke, that meant your ass, pal.
Oh yeah, you were dead. It was on and popping. You better run for your life.
I mean, you want to talk about shit we could watch and just sit here and pop? Is those vignettes with Vince? That's not the point. The point is that it's not to say that he's Stone Cold, but it is to put him over for how good he was.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. Okay. So we will keep going.
I get tired of having to explain this shit for people.
Okay. Yeah, sure you do. You love this show. You're a mark for yourself. That's why you do it. That's why you do it twice a week. Anyway, we'll keep going. Up next, we got Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy Fitch. They're going to cut a promo. Remember earlier, we saw Dirty White Girl get hit in the head and kind of get knocked out. Dirty White Boy cut a great promo. Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy are now going to respond. So here they are right now.
Primetime Brian Lee right here, fans, and Tammy Fitch. Can't believe it. He came out and attacked the Dirty White Girl, this big guy.
You know, I wonder if that little Dirty White Girl has a little bit of a headache now, huh? Well,
yeah.
Look at the way she does. It's gotta hurt. But she's just like Tammy Wynette, standing by her man, just like a little housewife should. See, she's not like me. I'm a well-educated businesswoman. She is a housewife. She's good for washing dishes, doing laundry, and that's it. Well, actually, I kind of heard she's good for something else, too.
Well, you're exactly right, girl. She's good for something if you have $10, and the line's probably out back of the building right now. But I don't care about that. I can snatch a woman, or I can snatch you, white boy. Thanksgiving thunder, I can't wait to get my hands on you, dirty white boy. And dirty white girl, I'll break you in half again if I have to. See you, Big Bob.
All right, fans. Tag team action, six-man tag team action, right here next week. And until then, so long for now.
All right, Doc. Well, that's the last promo of the episode. Thoughts on what we saw right there, which I thought
that was
really,
a really good hit and run promo where, you know, Primetime followed up Tammy really well and added a lot there.
Yeah, that was good.
When he started singing, that popped me too.
Did you see Bob Connell? He couldn't hold it. He broke character. He just was like, he lost it. It was great. I loved it. That was fucking fantastic. Good shit. Oh my God, good shit. Oh man, good stuff. Anything else, Doc?
No, I mean, this is now, you know, you've got Primetime Brian Lee trying to be something he's not, high society, the high society Wellesley College versus the dirty white boy and the dirty white girl.
There you go.
There you go.
And we're 1 week away from Thanksgiving Thunder, so we'll see how all this shit shakes out, and I expect it to be some pretty good stuff. It's time to do some disability checks. Before we do so, I want to remind everyone, remember, become a patron. Again, it's tinyurl.com/btpatron. I already told you all the benefits earlier in the show. And if you don't usually do it, use our Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/bttamazon. Great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. You know, every time you shop on Amazon, use the link. Buy Bobby Blaze's book. Give it to your wife. Not the book, but give the Amazon link to your wives, girlfriends, anyone in your family who shops. And say, hey, use this, please. It helps support my favorite show. So, again, it's tinyurl.com/bttamazon, and you can buy anything and everything off of Amazon. Doc, why don't you go first this week with disability checks?
All right. Once again, to prove that I don't do the things that you say I do at this time of the show, I'm going to tell you something here. I had a number and it went up by 0.2 while I was listening to the show, because as I've revisited the show here on this, in this format, it was better than I originally thought. So I'm going to say that I started with a 7.4 and I raised it to a 7.6.
Okay. I don't know why that doesn't surprise me. I have an 8 written down, and an 8 is what I'm going with. So I gave it an 8. I just think there was some good little pieces there to where it was a good episode. I mean, nothing groundbreaking and earth-shattering, but good episode. So I gave it an 8 on a disability checks, which is, I don't know, I feel like that's standard for the time period we're in. We've had a bunch that were higher. I don't think we've had many that were lower, but this was good as we, I mean, you really couldn't do much more as you're getting to Thanksgiving Thunder. So it's like you're at the point where the feuds have been built, you've thrown a lot of shit together, and now it's time for them to come to a head. You really can't progress things a ton more. Although I did think the stuff with the Dirty White Boy, Dirty White Girl, Primetime, Brian Lee, and Tammy, I thought all that was meshed together nicely. So, 8.0. Yeah. Government cheese time.
You're going first this time.
That's fine.
I'm going to guess that you're going to give it to Old Monistat Malt Liquor.
Well, thought about that, but no, I can't go that route. I'm going Dirty White Boy, because that line where he said no one on this earth touches my old lady and lives to tell about it is like one of the greatest southern lines that I can think of.
So, and then he comes back with beating people up. That's what he does best.
Yeah, I'm going Dirty White Boy, man. Dirty White Boy nailed it. And again, that wasn't like some, you know, great spectacular promo, Austin 316 type promo, but he nailed it with that. Nobody touches my old lady and lives to tell about it. So he's
not everything has to be these alligators or, I mean, that's great. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes you got to come out and cut a workmanlike promo. There's a place in this world for Ole and Arn and Dirty White Boy to just come out and talk about what they're going to do in a way that's compelling and draws you in.
Yep.
And for that reason, I'm also giving the government cheese to Dirty White Boy because in a lot of ways, he is the, I mean, he's been around since day one. He is your kind of your quarterback here, your main guy from day one.
Certainly is as we lead towards Thanksgiving Thunder 1993. So, Government Cheese, that was good. This was a good episode. You gave it a 7.6. I gave it an 8. And to recap, the Government Cheese, you gave it to Dirty White Boy, and I gave it to Dirty White Boy. I'm willing to bet Harper would have given it to Dirty White Boy, too.
He might have given it
to Baron Horn, now that I think about it.
He might have given it to old Primetime for singing at the end, because you know how Harper likes country music.
He may have. Stand by your man, Bob Cottle popping. That was great. That was beautiful. Oh, my God. Holy crap.
Hey, you just know that no matter who gets the government cheese or whatever the disability checks are, when you're in 1993 Smoky Mountain, you're blessed.
You definitely bless. I'm going to hit a little stone cold here at the end. Before we ride off into the sunset and get to go home, Q. Get, do it, Doc.
Hop on your Kawasaki mule.
To go home, Q. All right, now to give me to go home, Q. Please give us some 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. We would appreciate it. Thank you very much. We gave a little teaser on the Broad Logic episode a couple weeks back on the NWA February 21st show when my wife jumped on at the end of the show to tell us how much she hated
the personality profile.
She hated the Nikki Bella, John Cena angle on Total Bellas. But anyway,
well, you know, we call her Sasha, but I think, man, as white as she sounds, her name is Becky.
Okay, that is definitely not her name, but so on and so forth. So 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we'd appreciate it. Check us out on Twitter at BTT_podcast. Check us out on Facebook. Like the page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. The thing about that is you can go to the Pro Wrestling Tees store if you click the Shop Now button there. All of these links are also in the show description that you are listening to this or where you're listening to this episode. And pick up a couple T-shirts. We definitely would appreciate it. And I want to shout out the Hall of Fame patrons because I haven't done it in a while. Merciless Jones, Disrespectfully Classy, Mark E. Blassie, Spyboy Sports Cap, JMM7530, DR1851, Rube1452, Frog Zeppelin, Philip Allen, R. Smith 9000, 945 Sports, BDK, Big Rich, Jesse Lucas, Joe Weiss, MPRU83, Alice, R. E. Miller 39, Justin underscore Andretti, J. Shiny 21, Natural Hacksaw, Thin Man Within, Slider 91 US, USC 49er Dodger, Gerald Green III, T Hog 94, SV Padron, Martin Howell 71, Tim Moretti, Coleman 822, Gobble with Unreal and Convinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. Shout out to my buddies from the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. ROH's Kingpin Brian Malonis, Mike Crockett, doing their thing every single Monday. Just search WPAN wherever you get your podcast from, or Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. Thank you very much. Doc, anything else before we get out of here and ride off into the sunset?
Man, I've already been revving up my Kawasaki mule on mute, so I think I'm ready to go, pal.
All right, well, I would tell you to hit the tagline, but who hits the tagline since Harper's not here? I don't remember how we used to do this.
Menace, hit the tagline and get us out of here.
Book it, bitch.